Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Irchin Daf Lamed Dalid. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin the shiur, let us glance at the outside margin where you see no say, a topic heading in the Gemara markings Shas Ozer. That's the Shas, that's the Gemara that appears on your screen. We feature topic headings and structural notes when needed. The topic headings entitled Nosei, in this case reads, Hekesh Bein Stei Charmoi Shel Koyein L'Stei Achuza Shel Yisrael. We will see in a Pasuk that appears in Sefer Vayikra Perek Chof Zayin Pasuk Chof Aleph that the Torah compares the Stei Cherem, that's a Cherem dedication, which we've discussed in previous Dapim, where someone dedicates his property as a Cherem dedication, and the understanding is that the Cherem dedication goes to a Kohen. So a Kohen who received a field as a result of someone's dedicating it as a Cherem, that Kohen, the pasuk that is, compares the stei cherem that a kohen received to an inheritance field of a Jew. Now, we'll see in what context that is as we turn to the Gemara. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source quoting from a pasuk which is found in the general topic of someone who sanctified his inheritance field, known as Makdish Stei Achuza. So in that parsha, the Torah says that if a person doesn't redeem the field that he dedicated, the inheritance field, upon the arrival of the Yovel, that field is distributed amongst the Kohanim. In fact, the Parsha goes on to describe cases where someone else had redeemed the field, not the original owner. In such a case, when the Yovel comes, it's taken from the redeemer and distributed amongst the Kohanim. Now, in that context, we have the following pasuk. It says, "Kistei hachirim l'koyhein tiyeh achuzosoi." The Gemara, the Brice asks, "Ma Talmud lomar?" Rashi explains on the fourth line from the top, "Ma bo stei hachirim l'lameid?" What does stei hachirim come to teach al sode hayotzis l'kehanim biyovel concerning those fields that leave hektish and are distributed to the kohanim in the yovel year? In other words, what's the connection between stei hachirim and this phenomenon of inheritance fields that had been dedicated to the Beis Hamikdash and that we know are distributed amongst the kohanim? So the Brisa answers that the role of this pasuk is addressing the following situation. Minayin l'koyin shehikdish stei charmo. A kohen who had received a cherem dedication, that same kohen turns around and sanctifies the field to the Beis HaMikdash. Shelo yoimar, the kohen who now had sanctified this cherem field that he once received, he should not say the following. Now we have singular quotation marks around the next 2.5 lines. All of this is what the pasuk is telling us the Kohen shall not say, shall not reason, shall not try to act upon the following. What should he not say? Hayol v'yotze l'kohanim, if I wouldn't redeem the sanctified field. What happens to sanctified fields? They're distributed amongst the Kohanim that are serving in the Beis HaMikdash when the Yovel year arrives. V'harehi tachas yodi. Now, we're talking about a field that was once in my control, namely this stei cherem that I've since dedicated, but it was once in my control. Therefore, when the Yovel comes, teheshali, it should be mine. I should receive it and not be distributed amongst the other Kohanim. V'din hu, and logic would lead us to think thusly. B'shel acherim ani zocheh, we know that the Kohen or Kohanim receive outsiders' fields, namely people who had dedicated their inheritance properties to the Beis HaMikdash. Those are outsiders, so I get a part of strangers' fields. B'shel atzmi lo kol shekein, then certainly the field that was once mine completely, I certainly should be the one to receive it upon the arrival of the Ovel. Well, all of this is, he shall not say that. Talmud lomer v'hoya sodeh b'tzeisa b'yovel kodesh l'ashem kistei achirem. Comes along this pasuk chof aleph, and says, v'chima, well, it says v'hoya hasodeh b'tzeisa, etc. And then when we look at this pasuk and analyze, we ask ourselves, v'chima lomadnu mistei achirem me'ato. What does stei achirem come to teach me about other fields that get distributed amongst Kohanim on the Ovel year? Structurally, it appears that the pasuk that Stei HaChirim came to teach me about something else, and lo and behold, we are learning about it. Makish Stei Charmoi L'Stei Achuzo Shel Yisrael. We compare the case of the Stei HaChirim, this is the dedication field that the Kohen received, to the situation of inheritance fields that were dedicated by Yisrael to the Beis HaMikdash. Ma stei achuzah shel Yisrael yoytzei mitachas yodu mischalekes l'kohanim. A sanctified field that someone had sanctified their inheritance field to the Beis HaMikdash. And imagine, a Kohen came along and redeemed it for himself from the Beis HaMikdash, and then Yovel arrives. We say it leaves the Kohen's possession and is distributed amongst all the other Kohanim that are serving at that time when Yovel enters. Av Stei Charmoi, likewise, the Stei Charim that the Kohen happened to sanctify will follow the same rule. Yoytzei mitachas yodo, it will leave him, umischalekes le'echov hakohanim, and be distributed amongst the rest of the kohanim. So, in reviewing this, we asked ourselves, what does kistei achirim lekohen tiachu zoso tell us? That was pasuk chof aleph. It tells us that a kohen who had received a chirim dedication and decided to sanctify it, when the Yovel comes around, he does not get that field back, but rather it's distributed amongst the other Kohanim that are serving at that time in the Beis HaMikdash upon the time that the Yovel sets in. Omar Mar. Now we go over this source, we go over a point mentioned in the source, namely the logic that that the Kohen would try to use, and for which we need a pasuk to derail. If, however, we can punch a hole in the logic, then I will not understand what I really need the pasuk for in the first place. So that is what the Gemara is going to do now. It's going to analyze what the Kohen might have reasoned, but at the same time show that the reasoning is appears to be non-reasonable. And if that's the case, then I don't really need the pasuk to undo something that wouldn't have been a consideration in the first place. Before going on in the Gemara, we have an appearance of another marking, a trapezoid, or as we fondly refer to it, volcano shape, and you'll notice that it appears in an alternating direction as you continue in the Gemara. On the outside margin under our Mivneh, we feature this shape, and we call it a ma'akav. Ma'akav is the attempt to keep track of the back and forth nature of the discussion, and with the narrower part facing upwards, in this case they will be Kushos questions, and when it's flipped over, narrow part facing downwards, those will be Tshuvos responses. Omar Mar. We saw above, and by the way, we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the more text, and you can skim up the page, and you'll see a corresponding arrow showing you where this quote comes from. So we had seen in the source that the Kohen who had dedicated his Stei Charim might reason, why should he get it when the Yovel comes? B'shal Acherim ani zocheh. The Gemara, B'shal Acherim, was a reference to Yisraelim that had sanctified their inheritance fields, when the Yovel comes, it's distributed amongst the Kohanim. And if this Kohen was serving in the Beis Hamikdash, he would have received a portion of that. The Gemara asks, Mi Domi, how can you compare? Hosam Zoiche Be'almo. There, he is receiving in a, we'll call it in a passive fashion. He is receiving a portion of that which is distributed. Hocha Koshokule. Here he is coming on his own, by his own force, coming and taking the field from the Beis HaMikdash that he had dedicated. If you turn to the Rabbeinu Gershom, he elaborates a little bit on this. You'll notice he's found under the Gemara, there are the extreme wide lines. The second of those extreme wide lines, he reads as follows: Mi domi, hasam. In the case of the distribution of the stei achuza to the kohanim, ka zochi ba'almo, the rachmona zochi le stei achuza shel Yisrael. The Torah entitles him to a portion of those inheritance fields of Yisraelim that were dedicated. Hayoytzu the kohanim im shar kohanim. He gets a portion along with the other kohanim. Hacha. In the case under question, Koshokil Le Kule. He is taking the entire field for himself. Klomar, Mimi Zocha, from whom is he receiving Shiitpois Ste Chermoi Latzmo, that he should be taking the whole field for himself. In other words, these are just unparalleled cases. How can this Kohen even think to reason or justify his receiving the entire stei cherem based on the distribution of stei achuza to kohanim in the Yovel year? They're so different. Omar Rami Bar Chama Itzdrich. Rami Bar Chama says, I still really do need the pasuk to derail some piece of logic that the kohen might have argued. Salka Daito Chamino. I might have thought, if I didn't have the pasuk of Aleph, I would have thought. Hoyol uksiv ish es kodoshav lo yu. Ha nami ki kodoshav damya. We'll explain this according to Rashi. There is a halacha that korbanos that are brought by Klal Yisrael to the Beis HaMikdash are brought and are processed by the kohanim that are serving in that particular service group. We have mentioned in the past that the kahuna was divided into 24 different units. And each unit served 1 week, two times a year, 2 1-week sessions in the Beis HaMikdash. Those are called the Mishmoros. So general procedure was, if a person wanted to bring a sacrifice, he would bring it and it would be processed by the Mishmor serving in the Beis HaMikdash. What is the halacha if a Kohen who is not serving that particular week happens to have a need to bring his own sacrifice? Does he bring it and give it over to the Mishmar? So to that we say no. This pasuk that we just read, Ish es kodosh avlo yu, tells us that a Kohen has a right to bring his own sacrifice and process it on his own and not give it over to the service group that is serving at that time. So the Rami Bar Chama says, I might have thought, if I didn't have Pasuk Chof Aleph, I might have thought that a Kohen will view the Stei Cherem like he views his own sacrifice. And just like when it comes to his own sacrifice, he supersedes others, so too the Stei Cherem that he dedicated, he has greater rights to it, and hence could demand it for himself upon the arrival of the Yovel year. That's what is meant by Ha Nami, the case of the Stei Cherem that he was Makdish. Would be looked as the same way as his own korban that he's bringing, whereby he supersedes the others. And therefore, I need Pasuk Chof Aleph to derail that analogy. The Gemara says, no, the analogy doesn't get started. Mi Domi, how can you compare? Kodoshov Lav birushuso. Haha birushuso. Here we will look at Rashi. Kadoshav lav birushuso. V'lav mikoach didei koshokil luhu. Elo makriv emurehem. In the case of those korbonos, he isn't really taking it for himself. What he's doing is he's bringing the korban and he's offering the innards on the mizbeach. That's what the pasuk gives him the right to do when it says v'ish es kodeshav lo yiyu. He comes and is makriv his own korbanos when he wants. What does that mean practically speaking? He comes and brings the korban. And he doesn't have to give over the animal that's being sacrificed to have its innards offered to the Mizbeach by other Kohanim, but he does it himself. So that's the case of the Kohen and his own sacrifice. However, Hocha Birushuso, Rashi says, Klomar, Mikoach Didei Koshokiluhu Velomi Shulchan Gavoa Bishara Voda. Here, he is taking it through his own strength, and he's not taking the, let's say, the edible portion of the korban as a, let's say this again, here he's taking the stecherem through his own force, so to speak, and it's not like the case of the korban that the Kohen brings. Now, we have to add one point when we said that a Kohen who wants to bring his own sacrifice, he can bring it, and he supersedes the other Kohanim. He preempts the other Kohanim. And we emphasize that is in the sense that he processes the korban. We didn't mention before, but we can mention it now. After he processes the korban, he then can take the entire korban for himself. If it's a korban olah, which is generally which is completely burnt, but the skins are ordinarily given to the distributed amongst the korban. He will take his korban ola skins for himself. If it's a korban shlomim, whereby the meat is the chazav ashok is eaten by the kohanim, well, he'll take not only the rest of the meat which the owner anyway eats for himself, but he'll take the whole korban for himself. And likewise with a korban chatos, which is a korban that's eaten, he will eat it. But that's all a result of his having offered the innards on the mizbeach, as Rashi calls it. It's bischar avoda. It's mishuchen gavoa that he gets bischar avoda. But it's an entitlement that he has as a result of his offering the innards. So what the Gemara is emphasizing here is you can't parallel the Kohen's rights of offering innards on the Mizbeach to a Kohen taking for himself the Stecherem that he happened to have dedicated. That's what Rashi is explaining on these words of the Gemara of how can you compare Kodoshav Lav Birshuso, Hocha Birshuso. The Kodoshav is not something he's taking by his own force. It's something that he, even the meat and the skin that he gets, but it's a result of a merit that he gains by having offered the innards on the Mizbeach. Here, he's acting on his own volition. He's not getting it from some type of higher authority. So, once again, the question is, what do I need the Pasuk Chof Aleph for? Elo Omar Rav Nachman Itzterich. I need Pasuk Chof Aleph. I need that comparison between the Stecherim and the Achuzas Yisrael to tell us that the Kohen does not keep for himself the Stecherim that he dedicated. Without Pasuk Chof Aleph, I would have thought Hoyluk Siv. Ki Achuzas Oilom Hu Lohem. This pasuk of Ki Achuzas Oilom Hilohem is found in the context of Orei Halevim, the cities that the Torah provides for the Levim to receive upon the entrance to the land of Israel, where the Levim received, as opposed to the rest of the tribes who received entire sections of the land of Israel, the Levim received cities, 48 in total. So in that pasuk, in the pasuk dealing with the Orei Levim, it says ki achuzas oilam hu lahem, it's theirs for permanent holding. So this kohen, in the case of the stecherem that he received, ha nami achuzaso he, he might want to view the cherem that he received, the state cherem, as we view the cities of the Levium. And by the way, in the case of the cities of the Levium, we know that if they had been sanctified and someone else came and redeemed it, they're actually returned to the Levium. Included in the Levium are Kohanim. So it would be returned. So I might have thought that the case of the state cherem that the Kohen had dedicated, there would be a possibility of the Kohen redeeming it whenever he wants. He's even after a Yovel goes by, that he should be able to redeem it and keep it and get it. After redeeming it, he could redeem it for himself. Komash molon achuzosoi. Achuzoso in chermoi loi. The pasuk therefore comes to tell us this, that only stay achuza, or we should say the cities of the Levium, are considered his achuza, and not cherem, not the stay cherem. Let's look at the Rashi. Komash molon hekish the iskish stay hacherem l'stay achuzaso she Yisrael. The hekish comes to tell me the comparison that we had before in pasuk chaf aleph between the stay cherem, the dedication field that the kohen received, being compared to the inheritance fields of the rest of Klal Yisrael. The comparison says the teitzei mitachas yodov v'tischalik l'kohanim, that it leaves his possession, or it leaves his option, if you will, and is distributed amongst the other Kohanim. The achuzaso he diyesh lo gulas oilam. The achuzaso means the case of the Orei Levium, that is something that he has a permanent right to redeem. Avol chermoi lo havyo. But the state cherem that the Kohen happened to receive from someone else's having dedicated to him is not treated the same way as we treat the Orei Levium. In the case, just to review, we're sounding a little repetitious, but in the case of the Orei Levium, if a which we said includes the Kohen, if a Kohen, let's say, had dedicated his holding in the Orei Levium to the Beis HaMikdash, and someone else came and redeemed it, that when the Yovel comes, he will get it back. And likewise, if he dedicated a portion of his Orei Levium, if he had dedicated his holding in those cities, the Kohen, even after Yovel goes by, can redeem it. He has a permanent redemption option that he can exercise. This is not the case with regard to a Soda Cherem that the Kohen happened to receive and dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. That kind of thing, he does not have a permanent right to redeem, and when the Yovel comes after he had dedicated his Stecherim, that Stecherim will be distributed amongst the other Kohanim that are serving at the time Yovel enters. This represents the completion of Maseches Erechin, and Amir Tzashem, we will continue next time with Maseches Tumura. So with that, we not only conclude the Masechta, but we conclude our Shiur for today.